Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Richard here from Benvenue Baptist Church, and I'm just excited to be sharing a Bible study on 1 Peter called Everyday Church. I'm looking forward to walking through this study with you. Hope that you will follow along as well. We're in a period of time in the church where a lot of change is happening. A lot of change needs to happen. There's a lot of churches that are needing to what we call revitalize, get life brought back to them, and they need to change. And there's some things within the church that needs to change. But what we need to understand is that while there are things that need to change in the church, changing things inside the church are not going to reach those outside of the church. It's kind of like we need to revitalize within the church to bring life to the people who are here and then have something for the people when they come. But just having a product in a building is not going to cut it anymore. It's not going to bring people in. We have to go and meet them in the context of everyday life, because Christianity, although we see some glimpses of change at times, it has been pushed and is being pushed to the margins of society. But this isn't a new place for Christianity. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, in the first 12 verses, let's read those together. The Bible says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." As we get started in our series on 1 Peter in these first 12 verses, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that You would just use this study of 1 Peter to help us to realize what the church is to be, what the church is to do, how it is to be a church that is out in the community, that it is to be an everyday church, not just a Sunday morning church, but church every day lived in the life of its people through the community. And God, just be a place where we meet them on their everyday, in their everyday lives. God, we'll give You the praise, the honor, and glory for what You do through this time in Your Word. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Over 100 million people in the United States have no connection to a church. There are those within this group that do express a commitment to Christ as their Savior and their Lord, but they're not connected to a church. Estimates show that nearly 90 million Americans are unchurched and unbelieving. While we are seeing an increase in church attendance, especially among the younger generations of Gen Z, we are still living in a culture that is very secular. So opening our doors, as we've said, each Sunday is no longer sufficient to reach the unchurched. Just simply saying, hey, here's our product, it's on the table, come and be a part of it, is not going to work. We have to reach people apart from meetings, apart from events. Jim Peterson said, people can be attracted to a church by what it offers, but increase of this sort isn't church growth at all. It's just reshuffling the same 52 cards. And what he's saying is that people who go to church based off of what a church does on the inside are simply just going from church to church, trying to find the church that they fit in to the best. The problem in our culture today is that the Bible has lost or is losing its authority in public discourse. People don't want to hear what it has to say. We know that it has authority, that it has all authority, because it is the Word of God. But that's not how it is viewed among those in public discourse. The church no longer has a privileged voice. We see glimmers of this coming back in certain instances, but overall, the church has lost its privileged voice of what we used to consider to be a Christian nation, where the church was very important to the nation as a whole. But to say that we are still a Christian nation allows us to continue on the basis of business as usual. Well, if we are still a Christian nation, then we can still act and do the things that we've always done, and they should work. The problem is, that's not the situation that we find ourselves in, so the things that we've always done are not going to work. The way we go about accomplishing our mission has to change. The assumption has always been that our mission just equals a public presence. If we can get our name out there, if we can just let people know we're here, they'll come. But that's not the case anymore, because attracting people to the church is not a strategy for the future. We don't want to, or we can't just say, hey, come to church, because that's not a thing for them. We need to meet them where they're at, show them Jesus, and then they will come and be who we want, or be with us, who they need to be. We need to do mission outside of the church. Our persistent come to us mindset suggests that we really believe that people who refuse to come in the front door are beyond the reach of Christ. So to say that if people want to come to Christ, they can just come to church and hear the preacher preach the gospel, right? We're saying that those who don't come into the church are beyond the reach of Christ, and they're not. So we've got to meet them on their everyday, in their everyday life. Evangelism is not going to take place until we go out and connect with them where they are, where they feel comfortable in their territory, and bring the gospel to them. So we can't assume that people are going to come to us. We have to go to them. We need to do church and mission in the context of everyday life. In fact, mission needs to be done primarily in the context of everyday life. It's not what we do here at church. It's not what we do even with events that are evangelistic events at the church, community events, trying to get people, once again, to come to our location. It's actually what we as individuals do throughout the week, and what we as a church do when we go out into the community. That is mission, and that's where it needs to be done primarily. So an everyday church with an everyday mission. When we do that, that's when we're going to realize that we're on the margins of society. We may not be persecuted, but we will be marginalized, because faith in our culture is allowed to be privately engaging, but is being more and more excluded from public life. What you believe is fine and private, Just don't bring it out into the public. For us as believers, for us as Christians especially, our allegiance to Jesus as Lord puts us on a collision course with the priorities of this culture. That's why Peter calls us in verse 1, exiles or strangers, that we are strangers in this world. And it's a key theme in the book of 1 Peter that we're really not at home here on this earth anymore. Christians are like immigrants, foreigners, temporary residents, refugees that are here on this earth. We don't belong. We don't have the rights of citizens. We are outsiders. We are living on the edge of the culture. And Peter's not saying this as if his readers are on the margins of society. His readers really are on the margins of society. So he's not saying that, hey, this would be what life is like if you were on the margins. No, you are on the margins of society. You are an exile. You are a stranger in this world. And that's why these things are true. So rather than understanding strangers as describing, you know, our transitory life on this earth as a journey toward our heavenly home, it should be primarily saying that we are believing Christians in an unbelieving society. We are strangers because we are different than the rest of society. We are exiles and strangers because we have been born again. Our new home, according to verse 4, is something that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And in verse 5, we realize that we are also kept for our new home, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. This is true for us because in verse 3, we are told that Jesus has already gone before us and is preparing everything for us. The fact that Jesus has been resurrected is a guarantee that He has prepared a place for us or is preparing a place for us, and that it is guaranteed and that we will go and be a part of it. Listen to what verse 3 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ from the dead. So we've been born again, radically different. We have a living hope. Something has changed within us. Our values, our lifestyles, our priorities are now different, radically different from the surrounding culture. So it's our faith, our rebirth that makes us strangers in our own lands. And we don't fit in. We're on the margins of society. We are exiles because our identity has been so radically changed that we are no longer at home. This is where we were born. This is what we've been a part of. But then God saves us, radically changes us, and we're no longer a part of what this world is about. We are called to get involved in the world and to bless our cities, but we cannot do so on the basis that our nation is still what it once was and that our world is still what it once was, that we are now pushed to the sides. This is not our home, because this is not our home. Peter reminds us that we may suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. Listen to what he says in verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary. You have been grieved by various trials. Now, as we move on through 1 Peter, we're going to see that Christians were being slandered, excluded, and marginalized. And this is much like what we experience in the culture today. So far, there has not been a lot of physical persecution or martyrdom for the faith in the United States, but there has been slander and exclusion and being pushed to the margins. So this is what we are experiencing today, even in our nation, our culture, our cities. Peter says of Jesus, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. See, we love what we have not seen. We believe in what we cannot see. All the time, we are orienting our lives to our God, to our Lord that we cannot see, have not seen. Peter knows that this is a hard thing to explain to people. Well, why do you trust? Why do you put your hope in somebody you can't see? Well, we're shaping our lives, right? We're building our lives around something we cannot see, we have not seen. Peter says that concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. See, Jesus sets the pattern. Suffering followed by glory. Listen to John 15, 18 to 20. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And Hebrews 13, 11 to 14 says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. See, in Christ, we have become outsiders just as Jesus was an outsider. We are marginal in our culture because Jesus was on the margins of his culture. The cross is the ultimate expression of this marginalization, that to follow him is to take up our cross daily. It is daily to experience the marginalization and the hostility that the world has against Christ. But being on the margins is the normal experience of the Christian. And we need to regain the sense that anything other than persecution is an unexpected bonus. The fact that we can live as freely as we do and proclaim as freely as we do and not be afraid of martyrdom and really outright persecution, to be able to gather together and worship our Lord, to be able to freely go into our community and share the love of Jesus Christ with all those around us. If all we're getting done is having us push to the margins and saying, hey, I don't want to hear it. I just don't preach as loud as you do, whatever it is that we're getting in our world today. That is a bonus because we are called to suffer persecution. And if we're not being persecuted, then it's a bonus. So the purpose of God choosing us, we are called his elect in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The reason that we are chosen by God is to be on mission for him. So we don't survive on the margins, we thrive on the margins. Because it's from the margins that we can point people to God's coming world. We can offer an alternative lifestyle, values, relationships, and a community that proves incredibly attractive. So just because we're on the margins of society doesn't mean that we don't have a mission to go into the world, to love the world, to meet people where they're at, to tell them about the world that is to come, the world that we're looking forward to, and to say, hey, you can be a part of that world too. That's our mission. That's our calling. And we're to do that in everyday life on an everyday mission to the people around us, as a church, to the community, to the city that we're in. That is the goal. So yes, we're marginalized. Yes, people don't want to hear the Bible as much as they used to in the public sphere of things. We can see this when we try to tell them about issues like abortion and homosexuality and things of that nature, where we're telling them what God's Word says and they just don't want to hear those things. And it's not that we don't like those people. It's not that we don't love those people. It's not that we have anything against people who do those things. It's that this is how God's kingdom works. This is how God's world is going to work. And we want you to be a part of it. We love you enough. We care enough about you to share the gospel with you, to let you know. So yes, we're on the margins, but we're going to thrive on the margins because we're going to go into the darkness of the world and share the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the church that you have given us, God, that you died for. We are so thankful for the body of Christ, not just our one local body, but the entire body of Christ that you have given to this world. Help us to be a light. Help us to love others. Help us not to be judgmental and condemning, because that's not our place. Help us to be loving and encouraging, but sharing the truth in love and letting them know that this world is not it, that there is a better world, there is a better kingdom, and that we can live for that kingdom and one day be a part of your kingdom come here on earth. So God, I pray that you would just help us as your church to be thriving on the margins, coming in and sharing that marvelous light of the gospel with those around us. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.